93 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Boeing aircraft assembly workers overwhelmingly reject a tentative contract and walk off the job at factories in Washington, Oregon, and California. CBS's Chris Van Cleve explains that Boeing says the workers rejected the most lucrative deal ever offered by the airplane maker.
The tentative deal included a 25% wage increase for all employees, a $3,000 lump sum, essentially signing bonus payment, enhanced retirement plans, lowered employee health care costs, plus 12 weeks of paid parental leave. It also included a major union demand, building the next new airplane in the Puget Sound area with union workers.
Feds are convening the company and the union to meet with a mediator early next week. Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump are focusing their efforts squarely on battleground states that could decide the winner in November. CBS's Natalie Brand reports.
With little over 50 days until Election Day, Vice President Kamala Harris traveled to the battleground state of Pennsylvania Friday. In Wilkes-Barre, Harris spoke about abortion rights and went after former President Donald Trump over his vow to replace the Affordable Care Act with another package of health reforms.
He said he has, quote, concepts of a plan.
Harris spent Friday in parts of the Keystone state that have voted for Trump as she tries to appeal to moderate Republicans.
Former President Donald Trump has spent today traveling to California and Nevada. Performer Justin Timberlake has his day in court pleading guilty to driving while visibly impaired earlier this year. Odyssey New York reporter Sophia Hall.
Justin Timberlake made a public safety announcement outside the Sag Harbor courthouse after his guilty plea.
Even if you've had one drink, don't get behind the wheel of a car.
The 43-year-old pleaded guilty to driving while ability impaired, a lesser charge than the DWI, which he was originally charged with. The pop star must also pay a fine and spend 25 hours doing community service.
I try to hold myself to a very high standard. This was not that.
Sophia Hall for CBS News, New York.
Just over 50,000 people in Louisiana remain without electricity after Hurricane Francine, according to PowerOutage.us. WWL's TV's Rachel Handley is in St. John Parish.
Flooding is also still a major concern. There is so much water on Highway 51 that parts of it are closed completely.
The highway is barricaded from Peavine Lane all the way to Rudock. Closer to I-10, drivers are navigating this.
It takes a little bit of time for all of that water to flow back out to Lake Pontchartrain.
Hotard says it is slowly draining, though, and there's already a lot less water than there was the day after the storm.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Authorities confirmed that remains found recently in Two Rivers belong to a long-missing three-year-old boy. Terry Bell reports.
Two Rivers Police Chief Ben Meinert breaking the bad news on Friday.
It is with a heavy heart that I announce to you today those remains were identified as Elijah Vu.
The three-year-old boy was reported missing in February. Elijah's mother and her boyfriend are still in jail, charged with child neglect, though not directly linked to his disappearance. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
A complaint says a state senator broke federal rules during his run for Congress. The Campaign Legal Center says Andre Jacques of DePere transferred money from his state campaign committee to his campaign for 8th District Congress. The complaint asks the Federal Election Commission to sanction and fine Jacques. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
History is made for the Brewers' youngest player. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Jackson Churio became the first 20-year-old to hit 20 home runs and steal 20 bases in a season during Milwaukee's 3-0 win over San Francisco Thursday night. Milwaukee leads the NL Central by 9 games with 16 games to play. The Brewers are in Arizona this weekend for a 3-game series beginning tonight. The Green Bay Packers take on Indianapolis this Sunday, and they'll be starting Malik Willis at quarterback with Jordan Love out of action with an MCL sprain. Head coach Matt LaFleur said it will be challenging this Sunday without having one of their top players available.
Jordan obviously is our number one quarterback. And I think every time you take the field, you want your best players available to you. And when they're not, then it can be challenging.
Both the Packers and Colts are looking for their first win. Tomorrow is a big-time college football showdown in Madison. Alabama plays Wisconsin at 11 a.m. Filling in for Mike Clement, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for tonight, warmer and muggy with maybe a stray shower, lows in the mid-60s. And a mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, maybe a pop-up storm, highs close to 80. It looks mostly sunny for Sunday, highs into the low 80s. Currently at 62 degrees.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, join me as we start the new week barreling towards the presidential election. We'll have a week full of special guests, celebrity hosts, and you. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Shaw, WAUK.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, happy Friday. TGIF, Shabbat Shalom, Jumma Mubarak. It is the end of the week. It's the beginning of the weekend, more or less. And we got a lot to talk about. Did Donald Trump kill romance? It's an interesting story. I think you'll find fascinating. Also, fears mount that election deniers could disrupt the vote count in U.S. swing states. They are, you know, it's the Republican mantra. If you can't win on policy, then cheat. And they're cranking up for it. They really are. I'll tell you all about that in a few minutes. Also, good news, a judge ruled that the state constitution protected a woman's right to abortion until the fetus was viable. In other words, Roe v. Wade. Also, in the second hour, should we invade, or excuse me, unleash Ukraine? No, we shouldn't invade Ukraine. Should we unleash Ukraine? Should we allow them to use our weapons to shoot into Russia? Elon Musk is spending his billions to try to get whack jobs elected in local offices. This is bizarre. In the third hour of our program, how Kamala Harris could or should have answered, are you better off now than 4 years ago? And Germany is talking back to Donald Trump's debate lies. It's an amazing story. So a lot to talk about. Also, just a heads up, I have a new book out. Or it will be out. It'll be shipping in a couple of weeks. You can pre-order it now. It's The Hidden History of the American Dream, The Demise of the Middle Class and How to Rescue Our Future. And I'm doing a book signing at Frugal Muse in Chicago on October 9th. They ask that you call and sign up. And, you know, Frugal Muse is the name of the company. There, you can Google their number. It's 630-427-1140. But, you know, I doubt you have a pen and paper right there right now. So. But they ask that you call. And Powell City of Books in Portland on October 15th at 7 p.m. I'll be doing a book signing here in Portland as well. So that's everything that's going on. Did Trump kill romance? This is my op-ed today over at HartmanReport.com. And, I think it's a really fascinating question. What got me started on this is that I subscribe to over 100 Substack newsletters. I'm a news junkie. And one of them that I really look forward to is from Oceana Tepfenhart. I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly. And earlier this week, she wrote a piece about the death of romantic comedies, rom-coms, you know, and how they caused young people to have unrealistic expectations of dating and romance. And it was kind of a critique of the genre. And it was very well done. I linked to the article a couple of times in my op-ed. But what it did is it caused me to wonder. I mean, she was writing about the impact of you know, this genre, romantic comedy movies, which were big in the 90s, and they're just gone now, right? They just don't exist anymore. How they impact individuals. Well, I was wondering, what does this say about us as a culture? You know, number one, that we had rom-coms during the 90s, and number two, that they're not around anymore, by and large. And, you know, movies reflect and occasionally lead culture. And sometimes they're even at the leading edges of cultural change. You know, we've seen this for generations. Birth of a Nation, when it was screened in 1915 in the White House, it led to a Klan resurgence. Jimmy Stewart's 1946, It's a Wonderful Life. This was kind of the story for my father's generation that said, hey, we're bouncing back from World War II and World War I and the flu pandemic. And, you know, we're all in this together and let's build this country, right? That was It's a Wonderful Life. In the 70s, you know, with Vietnam War going, we had, you know, Apocalypse Now and Deer Hunter and all these anti-war movies. In the 80s, it was Michael Douglas in 1987 with his movie Wall Street. Greed is good, my friends. And then came the 90s, and, you know, we, in 1992, we elected a young president. I mean, he was the first one of his generation, the first boomer, and boomers were young in 1992. And so we had this young, handsome man in the White House with his attractive activist wife, Hillary Clinton, and there was a lot of optimism. Now, you know, there were a lot of challenges, too, obviously. But a lot of optimism, and I think that might be the thing that fueled the whole romantic comedy thing, that, you know, we felt safe. And then, you know, 9/11 happened, and suddenly we didn't feel safe anymore. And for a decade after 9/11, we had movies where, you know, just kind of black and white good versus evil, morally black and white movies, where it's always, you know, an evil guy versus, you know, really good people, you know, from the James Bond movies to the Mission Impossible movies to the Bourne series. Which brings us to today. Since 2015, for almost a decade, the dominant factor in American life has been the militant, bellicose, angry, racist, avaricious, misogynist zeitgeist inflicted upon us by Donald Trump, by the right-wing billionaires who fund him, and the foreign autocrats, primarily Putin, who promoted his rise to power. And for a half a generation now, Trump has provided a new template, a sick and twisted form of masculinity that's been eagerly adopted by bloggers, by influencers, by hate talk radio hosts, by men on networks like Fox and Newsmax. And the result is that the incels aren't just out of the closet, they're militant in their demands of women. White supremacist and largely anti-woman Republican avatars like Nick Fuentes are the new role model for millions of young men coming of age. Elon Musk arrogantly and publicly offers to impregnate Taylor Swift. Andrew Tate's rape charges are celebrated. I mean, these emotionally stunted boy men following Trump's example, they're not interested in the romantic comedy formula of, you know, friends who discover attraction and then flirt and then ultimately struggle with the possible consequences of this long-term relationship and then at some point break through and end up in bed and, you know, on their way to getting married. Instead, these manly men of the GOP, they want dominance, they want control, and they want submissive trad wives. I mean, that's it, right? And we all know it. So what does this mean for our culture? Well, you know, I think that, you know, we've been sort of like after 9/11, you know, we were shocked and so we had these kind of revenge movies. And now, you know, over the last decade or so, we've had these superhero movies. Somebody will save us, right? I would call them salvationistic movies, whether it's Spider-Man, you know, or other Marvel heroes, you know, or whether it's, you know, Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible. Somebody's going to save us. So what happens if Kamala Harris and Tim Walz do literally rescue us this fall and get sworn into office in January? How's that going to change our culture? And how's that going to change the movies and television that we watch? Will we return to the hopeful, you know, Eisenhower Kennedy years with hopeful movies like It's a Wonderful Life or the Clinton 1990s with the hopeful and kind of upbeat romantic comedies? Or will the right-wing billionaires and the social media trolls fight back against Trump's loss? Will MAGA make a return, you know, like much like they did during the Obama presidency, you know, shutting down Obama with this, you know, phony AstroTurf Tea Party BS. You know, it was just funded by right-wing billionaires. Will they shut things down? Will they make it impossible for Harris and Walz to really do anything? I mean, I don't know. It's a lot's going to depend on what happens to Congress. But, you know, we just learned this week that Leonard Leo, you know, the guy who kind of single-handedly packed the Supreme Court and got $1.6 billion from an elderly billionaire, He told the Financial Times this week, quote, "We need to crush liberal dominance where it's most insidious. So we'll direct resources to build talent and capital formation pipelines in the areas of news and entertainment where left-wing extremism is most evident. Expect us to increase support for organizations that call out companies and financial institutions that bend to the woke mind virus spread by regulators and NGOs so they have to pay a price for putting extreme left-wing ideology ahead of consumers." I mean, Leonard Leo is as bitter and angry and nuts as Donald Trump, apparently. But, you know, he's out there and he's got $1 billion. And Charles Koch is still out there and his network, you know, is going to long outlive him. You got the billionaire Murdochs, the billionaire who owns Sinclair, the multiple billionaires who operate right-wing radio, publishing, social media, TV networks. So bottom line, we live in this moment of extraordinary menace on the right and extraordinary opportunity on the left. We can, you know, to paraphrase Thomas Paine, we can rebuild the world anew. But it's all going to depend on which way we turn. So I'm very hopeful that this election that we are facing is going to help us. It's going to bring us a new and better America. And that we can get back to having hopeful, optimistic movies that we like to go to and laugh at and with and, you know, move forward. What say you? What do you think? Anyhow, it's Anything Goes Friday, for that matter. You know, whatever you're thinking about, I'll take your calls. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
That op-ed I was just riffing about, by the way, is over at HartmanReport.com. It's titled, Did Trump Kill Romance? Hey, Tom Hartman here. Why sign up for my program's free daily newsletter over at tom.tv? Well, every morning you receive an email with a complete list of the topics we'll be covering on our weekday program. After the show's over, every afternoon, you'll get what I call Sue's Daily Stack that gives you hot links to every single story and information source that we talked about during the show. Plus, every day while the show is live, you can watch it at tom.tv without cost. That podcast of the show, a complete library of every subject discussed on previous shows, a place to view it live, it's all at tom.tv. So why sign up to get all this at no cost? Because we want you to join us to help change the world for the better. Despair is not an option. Sign up now at tom.tv, that's T-H-O-M.tv, to get all the ammunition you need to win the water cooler wars. Tom.tv, tag, you're it. Hey, Tom Hartman here. In my new book, Threshold, The Crisis of Western Culture, I'm looking at the deteriorating state of our planet, where the dynamics of environmental, economic, and population change are boiling over the limits within which society can function. I'll be busting the myths and ideologies of religious fundamentalism, capitalism run amok, male domination and hierarchy, and militarism that are draining our world of its natural and human resources and engendering the suffering of millions for the benefit of a few. Threshold examines cultures that have thrived from the mother city of Corral, Peru to modern Denmark, and targets five areas of policy, national, religious, economic, corporate, and environmental, for specific and immediate reform. Radical in scope and boldness, but simple in its common sense logic, my book Threshold illustrates the mistakes we have made as a culture, as a country, and as individuals, and provides the inspiration and motivation that you're looking for to build a better, more sustainable world for all. It's available in fine bookstores everywhere. Threshold.
Hi, I'm E.J. Williams for American Humane. For thousands of years, dogs have been our best friends in our worst times. Today, we're also learning that our best friends, millions of whom are abandoned each year, are often the best medicine when people are facing obstacles. To help both people and animals, organizations like American Humane have been working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, finding animals in need of forever homes and training them as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help our veterans, the elderly, and children overcome the daily obstacles of life. In this way, the rescued can become the rescuers. to find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. As the cool fall breeze settles in, there's nothing better than wrapping yourself in pure comfort. Cozy Earth is all about turning your home into a sanctuary of softness and tranquility. My favorite, the bamboo sheet set. Made from premium viscose and bamboo, these sheets are unbelievably soft and get even softer with every wash. Plus, if you're like me and get too warm at night, you'll love how breathable and temperature regulating they are. But it's not just the sheets. Cozy Earth's women's stretch knit bamboo pajama set is another must-have. Louise ordered these, and she says they're like wearing a gentle hug to bed. And for the guys, check out the new men's performance sleep short. Designed for comfort and breathability, they keep you cool and cozy all night long. And don't forget the new puffy sheep slippers. They wrap your feet in luxurious warmth, perfect for the season. Cozy Earth products are crafted with a commitment to quality you can feel, backed by a 10-year warranty. Treat yourself to a little piece of heaven this fall. Go to CozyEarth.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, and use the code Tom for up to 40% off. That's CozyEarth.com, code Tom. Don't forget to tell them I sent you in the post-purchase survey.
In the city, dream of true romance, but now the skies are darker. Love feels like a fight in a world of heroes. There's no heart in sight. Where did the rom-coms go? Did they just fade away? The villains on the screen, love's lost its way. Now it's all about power, control, and might. But where's the spark that used to light the night? Did Trump kill romance with his fist in the air? Did he steal the love, turn it into despair? Now it's all about winning, no hearts left to mend. Did he kill the romance we thought would never end? The boys became soldiers, but not for the cause. They fight for control, never pause in the pause. No more chance meetings, no butterflies in the chest. It's about submission, now love's failed the test. Where did the rom-coms go, did they just fade away?
Welcome back. 23 minutes past. Where'd the rom-coms go? Indeed. Fears mount that election deniers could disrupt the vote count in U.S. swing states. This is the article by Ed Pinkington over the Guardian. And some really surprising or disheartening statistics. A new survey of 8 vital swing states reveals 239 election deniers have signed up. They're actively engaged in electoral battles this year. This is from a report by the Center for Media and Democracy looking at 8 critical swing states: Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, New Mexico, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. 50 Republican, 50 liars. These are people who are election deniers who are promoting Trump's big lie. 50 of them are running for Congress, 6 are running for state executive offices, 81 are leaders of local Republican organizations, and 102 are current members of state and county election boards. And, you know, which is pretty astonishing. Their most disturbing finding is that there are more than 100 election deniers currently sitting on election boards spanning 61 counties across all 8 swing states. 6 are concentrated in Pennsylvania, which is a critical state. I believe they have 19 electoral college votes.
Pretty much you've got to win Pennsylvania if you want to win the White House. And if they can shut that down, I mean, this is, well, here, this is what Pearson, who is Mr. Pearson? We're quoting a guy. Oh, yeah, Arn Pearson is Center for Media and Democracy's executive director. And he writes, the nightmare scenario is that they'll hold up certification. They'll force state officers to go to court to compel them to certify the results while they spread disinformation, in other words, lies, about widespread voter fraud and non-citizen voting. The big threat is that this will create a similar or even more heightened atmosphere of the sort that led to the January 6th insurrection. You know, Trump has even praised these people, the three election deniers who are on the board in Georgia. He called them out. He said they're pit bulls fighting for honesty, transparency, and victory. No, no. This is how Trump thinks he's going to win. He's going to steal the election. Among the innovations that that trio in Georgia have introduced are new rules that allow them to put vote certification on hold while they carry out investigations into unspecified irregularities. Mark Elias calls it somewhere between insidious and insane. In Cochise County, this is in Arizona, South Arizona, two election supervisors, Tom Crosby and Peggy Joder, due to stand trial next month for criminal offenses for messing with the election in 2022. Pennsylvania is suffering the most from the scourge of election denial, numerically speaking, with 49 election deniers in influential positions, including 29 election administration officials. 10 election deniers are running to represent Pennsylvania in Congress. I mean, this is wild stuff. Meanwhile, a state judge in New York has overturned North Dakota's abortion ban. The state attorney general, the Republican Drew Wrigley, says he's going to appeal it to the state Supreme Court. But this judge, he had done this once before. He did this 2 years ago, 3 years ago. He overturned, or 2 years ago, I guess, so 2.5 years. He overturned the state's abortion ban, saying, because it had been written in the 1880s, saying it was vague and unconstitutional. And so the Republicans in the North Dakota legislature and the governor wrote a brand new bill that had all kinds of specifics in it, you know, to ban abortion. And he knocked this one down, too. He says the North Dakota Constitution guarantees each individual, including women, the fundamental right to make medical judgments affecting his or her bodily integrity, health, and autonomy in consultation with chosen health care provider free from government interference. And, you know, he warned that giving the government the authority to tell women they could not have an abortion would also grant them the power to tell them that they must have an abortion. He said these choices belong to the individual, not the government. Amen.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
That's our good news alert for the day. Got a couple of weird headlines for you, and I'll pick up your calls on the other side of the break. It's Everything Goes Well. Did you know your dog's food could be harming them? Dr. Marty says there's one major red flag to look out for: cooked dog food, like kibble or canned food. When dog food is cooked at high temperatures, the amino acids often overheat and can create dangerous compounds called AGEs, advanced glycation end products. AGEs can cause dangerous buildups in your dog's system and make them act slower or older than they are, and high amounts are even connected to cancer. It's tricky because even the so-called healthy and organic dog foods are often cooked at high temperatures, so it's really hard to avoid. That's why Dr. Marty created his own formula called Nature's Blend. It's freeze-dried raw. It's shelf-stable, mess-free, full of nutrients, and tastes absolutely delicious to dogs. My dogs, Blue and Chewy, devour this food. I love that it's the healthiest and best food ever for them. Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and receive free premium dog treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom. That's drmartypets.com/THOM or text Tom to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Text fees may apply.
How would you like to get a free smartphone? If you own a smartphone, listen to this incredible offer that's almost too good to be true. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Plus, get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline now and we'll move your number from your existing service. Think of your savings. So don't wait. Switch your plan, save money, plus get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. We
guarantee you're going to love our service. If you don't like what we say, you can hang up on us. But you won't. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. That's 800-942-1325.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm talking to the people who have savings and investments. I want to encourage you to check in on your accounts about more than just your returns. Also check the fees that you're paying. Look, investing is never free, but there are all kinds of fees that can show up on statements, and they can really eat up your profits over time. I mean, a 1% fee sounds downright cheap, right? But if you only expect a 7% long-term return on your investment, which is a moderate and reasonable amount, that 1% is going to slow your investment growth and take a big bite of its value when you get to retirement. If you've got questions about fees, call your broker or your bank. Ask how the fees are affecting your returns. And if you don't like the answer, you can move your money to someplace with lower fees. Check out workmoney.org for more money tips. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965 following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
Oh, it's just,
a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Going back to this interview we just had, again, many thanks to Michael Cohen, former attorney and fixer for Donald Trump. Let's go back to the phone lines. Don in Milwaukee. Don, thanks for holding. What say you?
My God, that I've been listening to your station, Civic Media, for a long time, and this was a blockbuster. I was absolutely riveted.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, friends. Tom Hartman here to remind you that it's your support of our show that keeps us on the air. Without you, there wouldn't be a Tom Hartman program. And now more than ever, it's crucial for you to show your progressive support. And one of the best ways to show your support is to sign up for Tomcast. That's our podcast. It's at TomHartman.com. Never miss another heated debate on healthcare, global climate change, or our economy. Never miss another one again. Plus, labor news, full Monty alerts, conservative alerts, and my personal favorite segment, Geeky Science, each and every week. But wait, there's more! As an added bonus with your Tomcast podcast subscription, you'll also get my best of the rest of the news, a daily 3-minute dose of what's going on in the world today that you can't afford to miss. So what are you waiting for? Get over to TomHartman.com today and sign up for your Tomcast now. Do it for yourself, or you can do it for a friend. Go to TomHartman.com to see just how easy it is. And thank you so much for all of your support.
Did you know
know that every weekday we send out an email before the show giving you all the topics coming up so you can be fully informed and ready to interact with our program? Or that after the show we send out Sue's Stack, a list of every topic I've discussed along with clickable hot links to every source of information I've shared with you on the air? It's all completely free and available over at tom.tv, T-H-O-M.tv. Check it out. Welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour. Just a quick update on what's going on in the right wingosphere. This is from Media Matters. Sean Hannity suggested that half the country will boycott Disney because the ABC debate moderators were biased. Greg Gutfeld had a complete meltdown. He called it the first DEI debate. Diversity, equity, inclusion, right? Like, oh my God, we've got a black woman on the debate stage. This is Greg Gutfeld over on Fox so-called News. Newsmax, Greg Kelly, saying that wanting Trump's jurors outed. He said, they're afraid for their lives. Give me a break. Newt Gingrich on Fox said that Kamala Harris represents, quote, the replacement of America. Yep, they're replacing white people now with Indians and African Americans. Look at that. You know, just ask Newt Gingrich, the quintessential doughboy, white bread. Anyway, Jesse Waters on Fox, he said, I don't like don't ask, don't tell. I need to know if someone's gay. I have to know. Why do you have to know, Jesse? It's just like, what's the deal here? Over on Newsmax, a guest said, white men will be at the back of the line under a Kamala Harris presidency. Daily Wire's Matt Walsh. White people aren't crying about it when they get pulled over. Why are black people complaining? This is a response to NFL player Tyreek Hill's arrest. It just goes on and on. I mean, it's just people are friggin' nuts. Anyhow, what's on your mind? Rick in Great Falls, Montana. Hey, Rick, what's up?
Yeah, good morning, Tom. I'm a strong supporter of Senator Tester here in Montana. And there was just a letter to the editor lately that he receives a large amount of money from a pharmaceutical company from his lobbyists. Now, John's taken a bus tour to Canada a couple of times. Senior citizens go up there and get their drugs, and he bring them back, you know. Mm-hmm. So I find that very difficult that pharmaceutical industries put that much money into John Tester. Anyway, this letter from the editor comes from a hypocrite. My question to you is, Tom, how do I fact-check this individual?
Well, the money coming into campaigns is all published over at opensecrets.org. And you can just, you know, say, I want to look at senators and I want to look at John Tester, and it'll tell you, number one. Number two, I would tell you that, you know, most members of Congress do take money from these PACs. There's about 100 members of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, and about 70 of them have pledged not to take corporate PAC money. Mark Pocan and Ro Khanna are among those who will not take corporate PAC money, but most do. It doesn't mean that he's necessarily going to vote their way, but it does mean he's probably going to, you know, listen to them when they come into his office. But if it's true. But I wouldn't get too worked up about it. I wouldn't get too worried about it. In a way, it's like, okay, we're going to use their money against them. I would think of it in those terms because, you know, he's just one vote in the Democratic majority. But anyhow, the way that you find out what's going on with these campaigns is through opensecrets.org. Good luck, Rick.
Opensecrets.org.
Yeah,
okay,
there you
thank
go.
You, Tom.
Yep. Norma in Montgomery, Alabama. Hey, Norma, how are you today? What's up?
I'm pretty good, Tom. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, I have been out working for Shamari Figures here in District 2. And
that's your congressional candidate?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Barry Moore decided that he would much rather go be the congressional candidate for District 1, which is down by the coast. Mm-hmm. There is a Democrat running, Tom Holmes, and I attended a Montgomery County Democratic Party meeting on Monday night, and I left angry because I was talking about not just winning District 2 to give, you know, Terry Sewell, District 7, a companion, but winning 6 and 1 also. And I was told, no, there is no way we can do that. We don't need to help them or anything. We can't win either one. Wow. Yes.
But you think they're winnable? You don't think that the Democratic Party has it right? Is that what you're saying?
Well, if you pull up a map and look at District 1 right along the Florida line, mm-hmm. those people, somebody needs to tell them if Trump is elected, they lose FEMA. Mm. And if you do a mass deportation, who's going to come back and put the roofs on? We have some excellent Hispanic-owned roofing companies. And then, too, who's going to clean the hotel rooms?
Yeah.
You get rid of all the Hispanics. You do your mass deportation. How will these places stay open? How will
it'll function? Be insanely disruptive. You're absolutely right.
Yes. And so, but also, we just had a hurricane go through Louisiana, people. Wake up. Anybody down there in Mobile listening? Get out there and start talking and working. And District 6, it's right out my back door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I know the area because all the new construction, my son is, you know, woodworker. Mm-hmm. And so we've been out there delivering cabinets that he built. And it just, this really, you know, don't bother that the statistics say for 17 years that you can't win in that area, and that just really irritated me. Yeah. I lost my temper and started yelling. But, you know, every time I go out and I knock on a door, the people are so pleased that somebody came.
Yeah.
We used to have porches, Tom. We used to sit on our porches, and we knew our neighbors, and we talked to each other. Now people go in and watch the idiot box, and that's all they do. And it used to be, you know, you'd get in, if you didn't have to work 60 to 70 hours a week, you could get in your Chevrolet and go see the USA and meet more people.
Mm-hmm.
But all of this sticking in your own house and never speaking has created what I call a segment of tribalism. But when you go out and you talk to these people and you tell them you'd really like to have your vote for this candidate because this is what we need, you know, but my idea of trying to flip this state, anybody in Birmingham listening, get out there and help Elizabeth Anderson work, because we could have four Democratic districts and be a majority Democratic state. And how does that affect Congress in getting things passed? And how would it affect the Electoral College, Tom?
Yeah. Great stuff, Norma. Great stuff. And you know, keep it up. And you're an inspiration
help,
to a lot of our listeners and viewers. Yeah, well, good luck.
Well, you know, come on, people. Let's get to work.
Okay. There you go. Thank you, Norma.
Thank you.
Good talking to you.
Bye.
Happy weekend. Lynn in Belleville, Texas. Hey, Lynn, what's on your mind today?
Well, how you doing?
Good.
Tom, I talked to you once before. I got to watching this and being the old American history teacher, it came to my mind that fundamentally the thing that's causing us this divisiveness, if you look back in history, there's three times that we have had to go through this. The first time, of course, with the Civil War, when we killed more Americans than anybody, lost their lives in any war at any time.
Yep.
So that tells you how bad that divisiveness was at that time. The second time that it happened was, in my opinion, centered around Martin Luther King era, when they brutalized everybody so badly that, you know, we finally got a reaction. But each time we fought back in the Civil War, we fought back under Martin Luther King. Now we're in the third time, and Trump is leading this one. And we've got to try to stand together to fight against it one more time. I call it Sam Houston, who was one of the best Democrats of all time. And I want to speak out to the Texans at this point and say, hey, we need to get back to the Sam Houston Texas Democrat. He ran as a Texas Democrat for the governor of Texas in 1859, won the election as a Democrat on a platform that would fit very well today. But he's also
except
the only
for the slavery part.
Well, anyway, he said to that legislature, he said, Texas is not Southern black folk haters. And we need to not secede from the Union.
Uh-huh.
He said, I have bled for this country. Look at the blood that I shed in my body when I fought at the Battle of New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And God bless you, folks. We got a sick Abraham Lincoln called him up, said, I'll send 40,000 troops. Sam said, I'm a good Democrat, but I cannot kill my fellow Texans.
Wow.
And so, therefore, we went ahead and seceded from the Union. Sam Houston was impeached, came home, but he, in my opinion, I want the people of Texas to remember we had a great Democrat in Sam Houston. We need him for everybody to help Cullen and our new senator against Ted Cruz. So, think in terms of us. Let's get behind the true Democrats. Going back to Lyndon Johnson, Sam Houston, and all the boys.
Sounds like a plan, Lynn. I knew nothing about Sam Houston. Thanks for the history. I'm going to have to do a little research myself. It sounds fascinating. Lynn, thank you so much for the call.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, thank you. It's 44 minutes past the hour, almost 45. We'll be back with you in just a few minutes here. So stay tuned. It's Anything Goes Friday.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
And Justin Timberlake has escaped jail on his DWI case with a plea deal. Like, who cares? Anyway, thought you wanted to know. There's one reason why most probiotics fall short. It all has to do with something called survivability. See, to work its magic, a probiotic must arrive alive in your gut. But to do that, it has to survive past your stomach acid, which is strong enough to dissolve metal. That's why for my gut health, I choose Just Thrive Probiotic. It's the first probiotic formulated with four proprietary survival strains, clinically guaranteed to reach your gut 100% alive. In fact, third-party testing proves Just Thrive Probiotic has 1,000 times better survivability versus traditional probiotics, making it a game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, and even your mood. And with zero gluten, dairy, or histamines, it's perfect for your whole family. Try clinically proven Just Thrive Probiotic, 100% risk-free today, and get 20% off your purchase for a limited time. Visit justthrivehealth.com and use the promo code TOM, T-H-O-M. Just Thrive Health, promo code TOM.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Tom Allball Show.
Factory workers are on strike. It's expected to shut down production of Boeing's best-selling jetliners. Cairo TV's Eric Thomas is in Seattle.
Blocks littered with picketers here. 33,000 union workers rejecting that deal by an overwhelming majority. 96% of the vote to strike. Two-thirds of majority is all they needed.
Vice President Kamala Harris stumping in Pennsylvania says she's the person ready to move the country forward while her Republican challenger in their Tuesday debate.
It was the same old show. The same tired playbook we've heard for years with no plan.
Former President Donald Trump has been in California and Nevada. Singer and actor Justin Timberlake in a Long Island, New York courtroom in a deal with prosecutors pleads guilty to a lesser charge in a DWI case. His message outside the courthouse.
This is a mistake that I made, but I'm hoping that whoever's watching and listening right now can learn from this mistake.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 52 people will lose their jobs at a farm machinery factory in St. Nazian's later this year. CNH industrial officer notified state workforce officials about the layoff plan this week. The company isn't saying why it's letting so many people go. The layoffs are scheduled for mid-November. Wisconsin health officials are asking more people to take a survey about the well-being of women and kids. Here's Savannah Tomei Olson.
The Maternal and Child Health Survey covers things like prenatal care, postpartum mental health, birth outcomes, and access to resources. And they need more responses. Dr. Jasmine Zapata.
It's very important that we have diversity of voices, of backgrounds, of experiences.
They want to hear from more African Americans, Native Americans, more people near Milwaukee, and more people who live in rural areas. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Taylor Swift had her own network special last Wednesday night, also known as the Video Music Awards. The event took place at the UBS Arena in New York, and Swift was a big winner. It took the stage often for acceptance speeches while taking home lots of hardware. For the third year in a row, the megastar won Best Music Video for Fortnite, on which she collaborated with Post Malone. The video also won Best Direction. Swift's video for Anti-Hero won in 2023, and her own version of All Too Well took home the prize in 2022. Swift also won Artist of the Year for the second year in a row. She is the only artist to win the award in back-to-back years. That's right, she is no longer an up-and-comer. During Swift's many acceptance speeches, she honored the victims of 9/11 and surprised everybody by giving a shout-out to Travis Kelce, who she referred to as her boyfriend. Swift also encouraged people to register to vote. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for tonight, warmer and muggy with maybe a stray shower, lows in the mid-60s. And a mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, maybe a pop-up storm, highs close to 80. It looks mostly sunny for Sunday, highs into the low 80s. It's 60 right now.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Thank you for tuning in. Got my friend Earl Ingram Jr., Civic Media's own. Earl, thanks for joining me and hanging out in Waukesha, man.
But you sound like you've done this before.
It's been a couple of times. I mean, not as old as veteran as you, perhaps, Earl.
The first time you're doing this under the Dominic Salvia Show, you've invited me. It's an honor.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Going back to this interview we just had again, many thanks to Michael Cohen, former attorney and fixer for Donald Trump. Let's go back to the phone lines. Don in Milwaukee. Don, thanks for holding. What say you?
My God, that I've been listening to your station, Civic Media, for a long time, and this was a blockbuster. I was absolutely riveted.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Andra Watkins returns. She grew up in a Christian nationalist household and can tell us how that relates to Project 2025. It's not good. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
1792 to today.
Well, my point is this, is that tariffs are not designed to raise revenues, certainly not billions and billions of dollars. I mean, let's go to Trump's the context. He was asked about child care. He said, well, child care is child care, and it's such a small number compared to what we could be bringing in.
Right.
Well, if a tariff is working, as a tariff is supposed to, it is supposed to be a burden and a discouragement on the purchase of imported goods as kind of a negative incentive or an incentive.
Correct. So when tariffs work right, they generate no revenue.
Exactly, because you should be buying the domestic goods.
Exactly.
Okay, so in the early part of our nation's history, which you mentioned, and Stephen Breyer talks about this, the early part before the Civil War. This is in his chapter on the Interstate Commerce Commission in his book, Reading the Constitution, that came out earlier this year. The United States was a very poor country, and not many goods were made here yet. Mm-hmm. So a lot of imports, that was the way we generated revenue. But this came to a fever pitch in 1890 with the McKinley Tariff Act under President Benjamin Harrison. And they hiked tariffs just huge, and people got sick of it. And that's why, one of the reasons, that America went back to Grover Cleveland is because the whole idea that we're going to raise all this. And by the way, they did raise money, but they blew through it. The Harrison administration, by the way, was the first $1 billion budget. In American history, our first $1 billion budget was the Benjamin Harris administration. Uh-huh. But that was the Gilded Age after the Civil War and business up until the crash of 29. So, but the tariff to have the idea so that people understand that Donald Trump is promising that we're going to raise so much money. This is the same crap as Mexico is going to pay for the wall. Right. It's just pie-in-the-sky economics. And, yeah, you're right. If a tariff is working properly, it shouldn't be raising any money because people should say, no, I'm not going to pay that. I'm going to buy the American product. And that's what we should be doing. You mentioned a number of things that would encourage that. Buy the American product. But you see, during the Reagan era, we shipped out our jobs. We basically imported deflation by shipping out our jobs, our American-made products, and importing the cheap goods from Asia.
Yep.
And people felt like, because they were cheap, it in a sense created a false demand where there wasn't the money for it.
If I could just interject, one of the most amazing things that anybody listening to this program who is probably under 50 doesn't even know is that when Sam Walton rolled out the Walmart stores in a big way, took them national in the 1970s and 80s, his slogan, which hung on giant canvas banners across the top of every one of the Walmart stores, was 100% made in America. And in fact, that's the title of Sam Walton's autobiography, is Made in America. Back to you, Paul.
Yeah, and think about it. Is that when we were kids, younger, 50s, 60s, if you found something that said made in Japan on it or made in China, you go, what a piece of junk, right?
Yep.
And now you can't find anything that says made in America on it.
Yep.
I remember when in the early 80s, anybody who drove a Japanese car or the parking lot of an American, Ford or GM plant or facility, their windows were smashed out. People would smash them out with baseball.
Yeah, I had a Toyota in 72, and it got keyed multiple times.
Yeah, well, by the end of the 80s, the whole parking lot at Ford or General Motors was full of Ford cars. Right?
I remember.
So the whole thing changed. It is just the whole idea, and of course, it came back to bite us. When COVID, we had the reason we have inflation is inflation is too much money chasing too few goods, and we gave up on our domestic options over 40 years ago.
That's correct,
and that's why we got caught with our pants down when COVID
we couldn't import enough stuff.
Other countries that couldn't provide because they were hit with a pandemic too. They couldn't provide the goods that we needed.
Yeah. The amazing thing to me, Paul, is how, we haven't had an honest debate about tariffs in the United States really since Smoot-Hawley, and one of the things that amazes me is if you Google tariffs, you will find all these mostly right-wing sites, but not entirely, where people are going, oh my God, Smoot-Hawley made the Depression worse, quack, quack, quack. Smoot-Hawley was about a 2% increase in our tariffs, which were averaging around 34% at the time. So it was meaningless, really. I mean, it really didn't make the Depression worse or anything else. It was a kind of a failed effort. But everybody talks like tariffs are terrible things. And all that talk comes out of the neoliberal consensus of the late 70s and throughout the 80s. And now we're looking back at that neoliberal consensus and saying, this stuff, these people are crazy. It didn't work.
And you look at if you export all of your manufacturing, then you have to get rid of tariffs or the products will be too damn expensive.
There you go. So we need to bring them back, but we need to do it thoughtfully, gradually, step by step, intelligently. And Trump can't do any of those things.
No, he can't.
Paul, thank you very much. Good talking to you. And nice to know you agree with me. I just never know when I put out stuff that's really controversial, like tariffs. We'll be right back. Anything Goes Weekend.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finished their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-640-6298. 800-640-6298. 800-640-6298. That's 800-640.
This is the Shaw, WAUK. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome entertainment critic and CityCast Madison newsletter editor Rob Thomas. And tis the season, so we'll talk about our favorite political movies.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Sometimes life's challenges leave you feeling alone. We all need someone who understands and listens without judgment. That's what the 988 Wisconsin Lifeline is for. 988 is free and confidential. Trained counselors are ready to listen and provide support 24/7 for mental health and substance use concerns. You can contact 988 for yourself or for someone you know. Don't wait. Call or text 988 or chat online at 988wisconsin.org. 988 24/7. Call, text, chat. Here to support you.
Brought to you by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.